Season 5, Episode 18, here, your midweek bonus episode where, nothing really outstandingly stupid for this particular midweek bonus episode, just the run-of-the-mill stupid. But look, if it's stupid, it's certainly worth checking out, because I think people out there are just trying to reinvent stupid, and they're doing a pretty good job.
All the stories that you're going to hear in this podcast are true. None of the names have been changed because we've all done something stupid.
Because it's a great big stupid world, and we're feeling kind of queasy as it turns around. Great big stupid world.
I'm Insane Eric Lane. And welcome to the midweek bonus episode of My Stupid World. Just remember, if you see something stupid, say something stupid. And if you like the podcast, make sure you rate and review it, because I get 5-star stupidity for you. So give it a 5-star rating and maybe even write a review of the podcast. I just might read it in an upcoming episode. And if you're a wrestling nun taking down an environmentalist protester, you're almost guaranteed to make it on my podcast, like this hilarious moment where this nun grapples a climate protester to the ground after an eco mob tried to stop a new church from being built in France. Now, the clip shows the nun sprinting across the muddy construction site of a Catholic center in Saint-Pierre-de-Colombier in Ardèche, and then charges one of the campaigners, grabs him from behind, tackles him to the ground. Now, the protester's carrying two large cylinders in each hand. He's trying to run away, but loses his balance as the nun takes him to the ground. Grappling tightly to his jacket, the nun pulls this eco-protester to the ground in what almost looks like a professional rugby tackle. Pretty impressive, I might say. The scuffle with the nun forces the protester to let go of the cylinders and throw them to the side as he tries to break away from the heroic Sister of Mercy. Only this time, I don't think she showed much mercy. Well, maybe she did. Maybe she could have done a lot worse. I don't know. But certainly, it's a video worth sharing. And of course, I'll definitely have to put that on our Telegram channel. So if you happen to have the Telegram app and are part of the Insane Eric Lane Stupid World channel, you'll be able to see this historic moment. Make sure to share it in church somewhere, all right? Well, there's a Florida man that was wanted by the cops, and he tried to kind of throw him off the trail, right? This is something you'd probably see in some cartoon somewhere. He puts a big sign outside his house. It says, "Johnny Yates does not live here." Oh, yeah, that'll do it. See, Johnny was wanted by the Polk County Sheriff's Office for aggravated battery, false imprisonment, and tampering charges. So deputies show up at Yates' Lakeland home there in Florida after getting a tip he was holed up inside. So when the deputies get there, they notice this note written on one of those dry erase boards in the front window. It says, "Johnny Yates does not," in capitals, "live here." Well, deputies wrote, "Gee, a dry erase board never lied to us before. Should we believe it?" Well, they questioned somebody living in the house who confronted Yates was indeed inside. But after surrounding the house for an hour and calling for the fugitive to come out, the cops said that the surrender smoke was pulled out and dispensed inside the house. Four people then exited the home, but no Johnny. Well, a second helping of surrender smoke was pumped inside the home to waft around a bit, yet still no response from Johnny. Finally, deputies and their canine, Dexter, enters the house, and they find Johnny. Johnny was holed up in a modified chest of drawers, and Johnny was arrested and taken to jail. I mean, why didn't the cops just leave? I mean, after all, the sign clearly said he didn't live there anymore. You know what they say, the lights were on, but he was home. And now the lights are on, but nobody's home at the same time. I guess you can say it's, I don't know, really. Well, I don't know about this for you, but for me, I read this story and immediately had to go and take some Pepcid AC. There's a new world record for the world's hottest pepper. Can't wait for my son to try this out. This is a small yellow and green pepper, and it's called Pepper X. Suddenly there's this new fascination with the letter X for some reason. Well, if you're, I guess, into this stuff, I'm sure you've heard it before. There's a show out there called Hot Ones. And, well, it's the pepper that's in their Last Dab hot sauce. Now, it's been the unofficial record holder for years, but Guinness finally has weighed in. They did tests that showed an average of 2.69 million Scoville units. Now, that old record was the Carolina Reaper. That clocked in at 1.6 million Scoville units. Let's put this in perspective, shall we? The average jalapeno, or jalapeno, as I like to call them, oh, they probably clock in between 3,000 to 8,000 on the Scoville scale. Remember, this is 2.69 million. So the guy that created them, he also made the Carolina Reapers, so really he broke his own record. But he says it took him over a decade of crossbreeding. Now, this dude's name is Ed Curry. He owns a business in South Carolina called Puckerbutt Pepper Company. I just like the name. Even pepper-eating specialists had a pretty rough time when they tried one. Actually, here is old Ed receiving his award, along with pepper enthusiasts Chili Kloss and Noah Chamberg trying Pepper X for the very first time.
This is a culmination of a lot of work by a lot of people. People said it couldn't be done. They called us liars, and we proved to them that Pepper X is actually the hottest pepper in the world. Kloss, you're first person in the whole wide world to eat a whole Pepper X besides me.
Cheers. Just that violent and ever-growing thing that is somehow making my face tighter. Like, the skin of my face feels tighter to my hat.
Yeah. It's very spicy. Now, if you're a fan of spice and think you could handle Pepper X pepper, well, you're out of luck, at least for now. You can't buy the whole peppers yet, or the seeds. See, to protect his profits, Ed doesn't want anybody else growing them. So, now, it's not because they're so dangerous, although they're probably that, too. Besides, Ed, he was the first person to ever eat a whole pepper, and for now, you can only buy Pepper X hot sauce. Now, there's a bunch of flavors, but there's one called the Last Dab Experience that's supposed to be the hottest ever. Good luck with that. So let me know how it tastes on your eggs at breakfast. Yeah. Before dinner, I'm sure you'll be on the porcelain throne. Well, there's a survey that's involving some 8,000 small business employees. It has found that the typical employee dedicates nearly 11 hours a week to just write emails and sending an average of 112 weekly emails. That's a lot of emails in a week. And they dedicate slightly more than 5.5 minutes to each of their emails. Now, there are some respondents, though, that believe that only 36% of their emails are ever fully read and understood. How's that for your confidence level? Well, 62% say their queries often go unanswered. 51% have been addressed by an incorrect name, and 49% received questions they had already answered. Now, respondents also admit their own lapses in email etiquette. 57% confess to avoiding emails exceeding 8 sentences. They typically disregard or delete emails based on their subject lines about 8 times daily. Now, this lack of attention has its consequences, with 45% of respondents missing important events like meetings and deadlines because of overlooked emails. A considerable 46% of participants also view email as, quote, a dated mode of communication. Wow. Their frustrations stem from several common inbox complaints, like emails mistakenly labeled as spam, being inundated with irrelevant emails, changes in discerning tone and perceived pressure to maintain formality, and there are general differences in those perceptions. Like, for instance, younger participants feel more pressure to keep communications formal, with 57% of Gen Z and 46% of millennials echoing this sentiment. Now, that's compared to just 37% of Gen X and 34% of baby boomers. Younger generations express stronger sentiments as well, that emails are often a waste of time. So is it a waste of time to write them or a waste of time to read them? Well, you decide. Well, this may not be a waste of time, but I guess when it does come to that blank space on the voting ballot for this next election year for 2024, Grimes wants you to write in one name. That name is Taylor Swift. Grimes posted this on X. She quote tweets a comment from the Grimes AI account. It says, in many ways, Taylor Swift is the only presidential candidate who can unite the country. It's not just the fact that Taylor Swift as president would course correct society and fix emissions in 10 years. It's that I care about her mental health and she cares about mine. She doesn't know me, but she'd care. Now, Grimes, by the way, her real name is Claire Bosher, even hypothesized that Trump versus Swift is totally occurring in a parallel universe right now. Even a fan thought Swift could even replace the 77-year-old Trump on the GOP ticket. Yeah, in fact, Grimes says, perhaps Swift should run as the Republican candidate, said the follower. She'd be preferable as a Republican, I think, Grimes replied. Actually, unbeatable at this point. Another of Grimes' followers said that the 33-year-old Swift running for president was actually not a bad idea. I don't know how good it would be for her mental health, though. And to that, Grimes echoed what her AI account said, posting, it's probably exceptionally unadvisable. It just probably would work. I don't know. What do you think? Taylor Swift is president. I'm pretty sure she'd be a shoo-in. Frankly, kind of reminds me of that old joke that can be recycled every presidential year. It's a story about Joe Biden and Donald Trump together in a boat in a lake doing some fishing together when the boat springs a leak and the boat sinks and both drown. And the question is, actually, who was saved in the whole thing? Yeah, it was America. Yeah, okay. Well, there may be times that you might be asked for some personal references for jobs and renting apartments. But what about dating? The New York Post has this story about a woman who asks for her dates for references. Yeah, she wants her dates to bring references. But these references are from other women before getting too involved. She liked the idea because she had a bad experience with a guy who never introduced her to any of his family or friends. And after a few months, she realized that he already had a relationship and she was the other woman. Now, you'd think that she'd get a lot of pushback from guys about this references thing, but the first time went pretty well. She met a guy online, but before they met, she asked for a female reference. He was a little unsure, but after she explained why she was asking, he gave her his sister's phone number, and the woman texted her a bit. Then she went out with a guy, and, well, believe it or not, they're still together after 4 months. Now, I mean, she's doing this, you know, to avoid red flags, but look, guys, would this be a red flag to you? Or does it seem reasonable or just downright stupid? The times, they are a-changing. I don't know. And so are environmental things that are changing as well. Now, the, you know, when you go to a fast food drive-thru, the main perk of that drive-thru is simply convenience. But it's not convenient to be handed your food one item at a time, loosely, with no bag to put anything in. Actually, people in Pittsburgh have been complaining about this bag fee. Yeah, it's a 10-cent bag fee. Started to show up on receipts, even when they order at a McDonald's drive-thru, and it's apparently happening at all fast food places in the city of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, see, they got a new ordinance, and it's banning plastic bags. Now, a lot of cities have done this. There are no single-use plastic bag at stores, so you have to bring your own or pay a fee, which is usually 10 cents for a paper bag. What people in Pittsburgh say, they can't understand why it's happening at McDonald's because they've always had paper bags, not plastic, and some think that they're just taking advantage of this rule by adding a fee, especially since you really need the food bagged for most of the drive-thru orders. McDonald's says they had no choice. The new Pittsburgh ordinance is requiring them to charge customers 10 cents for each paper bag. Now, they don't have that fee outside the city. It seems like the problem in Pittsburgh may be how the ordinance is written. There are supposedly a lot of exceptions for any order that includes open food, like fries or a muffin, anything that isn't completely wrapped. So that can mean that the cashier has to determine whether or not the customer gets the bag free, or the bag fee, I should say. Plus, there should be a reasonable way to avoid the fee, since the whole point of it is trying to get people to use fewer bags. I mean, in grocery stores, you can usually bring your own reusable bags. But it's very unlikely a restaurant would take people's potentially dirty reusable bags inside to pack their order. Or if a customer doesn't want a bag, drive-through lines would probably take longer as cashiers individually give out each item and then wait for the drivers to try to find a place in their car to set it down. Sounds like a mess, really. I mean, I get the spirit of this, you know, but maybe prepared foods can just be exempt. Otherwise, are we going to get to the point where delivery drivers are just leaving loose tacos on your porch? I don't know. I'm all for protecting the environment, but folks, I think we're getting it a little out of hand here. Well, got a little out of hand here in a standoff. I mean, there's really no good place to have a standoff when you're, you know, involving the police. But there are certainly undesirable ones. There happened in Canada where police were responding to a shots fired call. They saw an armed suspect. He entered a porta potty along the side of the road, and he refused to leave the porta potty. So the police called in a tactical team. So finally, after a 20-minute standoff, the man emerged. Now, sounds like he was just hiding in there, not, you know, taking care of any other business. Police demanded that the guy drop his weapon, but he wouldn't comply. And a witness said the man got about 30 feet before he was shot by an officer, then was taken to the hospital. There's no official word on his condition, but a witness says he was alive as he was being put in the ambulance. So now this is an officer involved shooting, and the authorities are now investigating. But it's unclear if anybody was hurt prior to the porta potty standoff. Frankly, there's a completely reasonable way to resolve something like this the next time it happens without the use of any kind of weapons. It's something that we did in Arkansas all the time. It goes all the way back to those good old days of pranksters when we would go out at night and go outhouse tipping. There's a place in New York called Watertown. You've been to Watertown, New York? I guess it was named after, I don't know, what, water maybe? Well, Watertown has been in the news because it suffered a water main break, which left the town, ironically, without water, as well as other towns around Watertown that rely on their water. Actually, about 25,000 people were affected, and crews worked nonstop to repair the water main, and it was successful. But later that night, the mayor said, well, it could take about a week until they're able to actually restore drinkable water. Here's the city manager, Ken Mix, and Mayor Jeff Smith just talking about the waterless Watertown.
Probably started off with low pressure and then no water at all. People at higher elevations were probably affected first, but by now I suspect that everybody is getting to the point where they don't have any water. But once they find out where the break is, I don't expect it'll take long as we can get the parts.
Once you immediately pressurize that system, again, there are pipes that are 50, 60, 70 years old. We have to anticipate we're going to have more water breaks and main breaks.
So first the system needs to be repressurized. Then there's this chance that it could possibly cause additional breaks. And even then, residents would be asked to boil their water for 2 to 3 days while they test the water. Jeez, almost sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit because of just how often you hear the word water when you watch the video news report about the whole thing. Now, definitely it'll have to go into the Telegram channel so you can get the full brunt of this water emergency in Watertown. Well, there's a prankster that listed bottles of Amazon driver's urine as an energy drink. One of the flavors, by the way, reached bestseller status. The creator of the new documentary called The Great Amazon Heist interviewed Amazon delivery drivers about their need to urinate in bottles because of the company's stringent time restraints. Now, the journalist and documentary filmmaker named Uba Butler embedded himself at a UK Amazon warehouse and discovered drivers were penalized for having bottles of urine in their vehicles so they would often throw them out of the window before they returned. The butler saw a golden opportunity in this and decided to collect those bottles from the areas near warehouses in cities like Coventry in the United Kingdom, as well as places like Los Angeles and New York. But then Butler branded the bottles of urine as, quote, "Release Energy, a caffeine-free energy drink." Then he reportedly listed those bottles on Amazon. At first, within their refillable pump dispenser category, but then Amazon's algorithm allegedly later moved it to drinks. The, quote, "refreshment" rose to the top of the charts, achieving number one bestseller status in Amazon's bitter lemon category. Amazon called the situation a crude stunt, where Channel 4 posed as a seller and listed a fake product on our store with no genuine customer, which no genuine customer bought. Wired magazine noted the product actually never made it to any real customers, claiming that Butler corralled a bunch of friends into making the purchases. But still, it's pretty clever. Probably one of the more clever stupidity stunts I've ever seen. You can really get up close and personal by interacting with the podcast and get the real-time updates and a little of the articles from the stupid stories that you hear when you join Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World Telegram channel. I'll be posting links to the stories that I read here on the episodes. You're able to read the actual articles, see the pictures, look at the videos, make comments about what you have actually seen or read or even heard about, and even share some of your own stupid stories with everybody in the community. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane. You get a preview of the channel, and there's also an opportunity to just download the Telegram Messenger right there from the preview channel right to your device, desktop or mobile, for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple. And also, you can interact with me as well on social media. Follow me at Insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E, on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the website at InsaneEricLane.com.
And now, from the news desk of Insane Eric Lane, it's the Week in Review.
President Biden's reelection campaign confirmed that it launched an account on Donald Trump's social media platform Truth Social, which is pretty noteworthy because it's the first time the word Biden and Truth have ever been used in the same sentence. Yeah, they posted, "We just joined Truth Social, mostly because we thought it would be very funny," according to the campaign that confirmed on X. But nothing is really funnier than thinking Joe should even have a reelection campaign. A large feline was spotted in Lehigh County, Pennsylvania, and that ignited growing concerns that mountain lions might be making a comeback in Pennsylvania. This is pretty concerning because they might even be more dangerous to Pennsylvania than John Fetterman. Actually, Lehigh County isn't that far from Philly, and if those lions ever get a sight of the creatures in that city, they'll be so scared they'll flee the state like everybody else. Climate activist Greta Thunberg was detained by police in London after she addressed protesters at a demonstration against oil and gas companies in the center of the city. Jeez. Greta gets arrested and released so frequently that she's starting to identify as a New York City resident. Thunberg now has been arrested multiple times this year. She's easily the most annoying thing to come out of Sweden since self-assembly furniture. And in her new memoir, Britney Spears says she lost her spark after being placed under her 13-year conservatorship. And apparently she also lost her clothes. Trevor Lawrence is at risk of missing the first game of his NFL career. He suffered a knee injury, but the Jaguars fans, though, can live with it because, well, you know, they're used to not having a quarterback. Lawrence's current backup is C.J. Beathard. He's got 12 career starts. The quarterback play was actually feared that it might be so ugly that the team would temporarily be named the Jacksonville Jets. There's a new report out of Scranton, Pennsylvania, that says residents that live on Biden Street, which was changed from Spruce Street in 2021, I think the name change was stupid, but they really hate Biden Street because now they find themselves forgetting where they live. Biden Street and Biden's underwear are very similar, you see, because every once in a while, there's an accident. A recent survey finds that sexual satisfaction among older adults may delay or even prevent cognitive decline, which has millions of Americans begging Jill Biden to get friskier. Now, don't get grandma a bottle of bourbon this Christmas. Do them a real favor and grab a bottle of Cialis. An Australian man got more than he bargained for whenever he confronted a kangaroo in the shadows of a river, or the shallows of a river, which had his dog in a headlock. And you got to watch the video because this dude was hopping mad. You know, Australia has an insane place with psycho kangaroos and giant snakes, the scary spiders. It proves that men should never complain when their wives ask them to go down under, because it could be a lot worse. Well, the Fortune fans recently slammed Pat Sajak for accepting the wrong answer on the show. That's pretty stunning that Wheel of Fortune still even has fans, but I thought for sure that people didn't really care about the show anymore, but evidently nobody really cares less than Pat Sajak. Britney Spears reportedly claims Justin Timberlake cheated on her with another celebrity during their relationship in her The Woman in Me memoir. Jeez, this book is going from The Woman in Me to The Woman He Was In. The accusations are really getting ugly, folks. I mean, some of these details are almost as horrendous as Justin's music. A new report says the recent New York Jets and Cleveland Browns upsets gave sports books across the country their best day so far, which means that even when these two teams are winning, they're still tough to watch. I mean, who the heck would beat the Browns to who would bet the Browns to beat the Niners or the Jets to beat the Eagles? It would have to be somebody on mind-altering substances, so probably just diehard fans of both teams. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie returned to New Hampshire to formally place his name on the ballot in the state that holds the first primary and second overall contest in the Republican presidential nominating calendar. Christie still thinks he's number one, but in reality, that's just his order at the McDonald's drive-thru. Christie has said that if he drops out in the 2024 race, he'll drop out if he doesn't do very well in New Hampshire. Yeah, of course, if I'm being honest here, odds are that he'll be dropping out of the race faster than he drops out of a Thanksgiving 5K race. And Representative Lauren Boebert has lost several major donors to her primary challenger, Grand Junction, Colorado attorney Jeff Hurd. But I have a feeling Lauren will still get donations because she's got a lot of pull. She can always take some potential donors out to the theater to just butter them up. Of course, I hear that there's a great new adaptation of Fondler on the Roof. And a recent study finds that you wind up having much less bacteria on your hands when you use a bidet rather than the traditional toilet paper. You know, I've actually tried using a bidet before, and I gotta say, it was a blast. Seriously, you should really seriously give it a shot. I mean, I bet that you'll find it's a whole new experience. Get it? A whole? Never mind. A barbecue in Tennessee came to an abrupt end when a bear crashed the party and feasted on 10 burgers and a Diet Coke, which means even bears are dumb enough to eat a zillion calories and then order a Diet Coke. Not every day you see a big animal eat 10 burgers in one sitting, unless, of course, that you're inviting over for a cast member of The View for dinner. Netflix reported a surge in third quarter subscriber numbers of nearly 9 million and announced that it will be raising their prices in the U.S., U.K., and France. I mean, they're really buying into the Netflix and chill phenomenon, only now they're the ones screwing people. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes is reportedly interested in owning an NFL team when he retires from the game, and a lot of folks think he should go for the Denver Broncos because, well, he already absolutely owns them. Yeah, Mahomes' regular season record against Denver is incredible, 12-0. So it's a total embarrassment, which is also how Broncos fans refer to their own quarterback. And Spirit Airlines canceled about 100 flights after pulling some planes out of service for inspections. And the airline expected the disruptions to last several days. But I guess this is fine because people who book Spirit are only surprised when their flight actually leaves on time. Spirit did not describe the nature of the inspections, nor did respond when asked for further information. They were probably, you know, just at the Friday happy hour. And I'm mainly referring to the active pilots. According to a recent survey, nearly half of the U.S. adults under the age of 50 say they wish for more than two political parties to vote for. And the other half say two is already too many. Of course, I have a feeling that these respondents were millennials and Gen Zers, mainly because they want less Republican Party and Democratic Party, much more of a house party and a pizza party. And a wedding planned for an inn in Vermont had to be relocated at the last minute when an innkeeper was arrested when he reportedly pulled out a loaded handgun and put it to the neck of the bride's father. Everybody gets loaded at weddings, but that usually just occurs at the open bar. And The Nightmare Before Christmas has returned to theaters to celebrate its 30th anniversary. This movie, by the way, is officially a millennial. I'm kind of surprised that it's actually showing up for work. You can bring your kids there and there'll be plenty of laughing and crying. Yeah, the kids will laugh at all the zaniness that the movie offers and the parents will cry over the concession stand prices. And Britney Spears again has deactivated her Instagram account ahead of the release of her highly anticipated memoir, The Woman and Me. Now, if you want to see someone dancing around in their underwear, you've got to hit up the local strip club. Now, before ditching Instagram, the 41-year-old pop star expressed concern over the public's reactions to her writing. But look, she's got nothing to worry about because the public knows she didn't actually write anything. The Philadelphia Phillies are just inches away from returning to the World Series. And this was going to be a, I guess there's going to be rioting and heavy drinking and possible drug use on the streets of Philly, but that was before the team advanced. The bad news is if the Diamondbacks lose a game at Citizens Bank Park, they have to go home. But that's also good news because it means they finally get to leave the city of Philadelphia. Senator Bernie Sanders reportedly transferred $75,000 from his campaign funds to his wife and stepson's nonprofit during their third quarter. Kind of looks like Bernie really is a fan of President Biden because he took a page right out of his playbook. The money from the senator's campaign went to the Sanders Institute, according to its recently released Federal Election Commission filings. Now, Bernie Sanders, you know, makes your stomach turn probably even more than the greasy food sold by Colonel Sanders. And according to a recent survey, only 24% of Gen Z say they always tip their hairdresser, stylist, or their barber, which probably would explain why most of them look like their hair was cut by a weed whacker. And Storm Norma weakened to a tropical depression after strengthening slightly and dumping heavy rain as it moved into mainland Mexico. That rain was bad, but it was nothing compared to what gets dumped in bathrooms at a Mexican hotel. Once a Category 4 hurricane, Norma came ashore as a Category 1 at the Pacific resort of Los Cabos in the southern tip of Mexico's Baja California Peninsula. Hurricane season is almost over, which is great because then we can all go back to being scared of Mexico for the usual reasons. And finally, Cher has expressed her reservations about out-of-control artificial intelligence in the entertainment industry, which means that Cher doesn't want anything fake on screen unless it's her face. It's a great big stupid world, and we're feeling kind of queasy as it turns around. Great. You know, I'm open to talking about anything, but love talking about surviving in the stupidity that's always around us. If you're insane enough to ask, I'm insane enough to reply. I'd love to hear from you, either by leaving a voice message or a written message. You can do that at podcast.insaneericlane.com. Leave any comment that you have from a podcast to a question, and I'll be happy to address either one. Your question or comment just might be played and or talked about in a future episode. And if you or someone you know would like to join in on a podcast, you're more than welcome to participate. If you have the Spotify for Podcasters app on your phone, you can do just that. It's as simple as a phone call. Just download the app at your favorite app store and add the podcast here to your favorites. You can also email me with comments, questions, requests at shoutout@insaneericlane.com. Of course, you can also subscribe to the podcast if you listen on Apple, iHeart, Breakers, Google, Verbo, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And don't forget to follow me on Facebook or Twitter at Insane Eric Lane.
Underneath this genius, I'm simply a human.
It's like a caveman thing or something.
And now this week's Genius Award.
And this week's Genius Awards is going to a 31-year-old Florida woman who allegedly went on a drunken joyride at 120 miles an hour in a 55 zone that led to her arrest, but the traffic stop took a little turn when she became violent with the Florida Highway Patrol trooper whose hand she dug in her fingernails. Brittany Bianchi was arrested and charged with a DUI after that incident that unfolded on the Gandhi Bridge in St. Petersburg, according to the Florida Highway Patrol. The woman was also charged with resisting an officer with violence, battery on law enforcement, habitual traffic offender, possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, speeding, and no insurance. This marks Bianchi's third DUI arrest within 10 years, according to troopers. Bianchi was driving in a Mercedes at 120 miles an hour in a posted 55 zone when she passed a trooper, according to the FHP. The trooper conducted a traffic stop and arrested Bianchi for a DUI. But after she was taken into custody, Bianchi allegedly became violent and dug her fingernails into the trooper's hands, according to the report. Yeah, she dug her nails into the guy. Kind of sounds nuts, but some people pay extra for that. She had three DUIs, and she's only 31 years old. Floridians across the state are now asking her to move somewhere more appropriate, you know, like Wisconsin. And then there's this. A 30-year-old Mexican gang member already serving time in Georgia just got hit with a lot more time for distributing methamphetamine from behind bars. The Athens Banner-Herald reports that David Toro Zavala, whose federal agents say is a known member of the Serenos 13 gang, received his additional prison sentence from the U.S. District Court Judge Ashley Royal after pleading guilty to conspiracy charges that included him directing the distribution of more than 220 pounds of meth from his prison cell. Zavala's new sentence, per WSB, more than 27 years plus 5 years probation after his release. Zavala, who's been imprisoned on armed robbery and false imprisonment charges since 2012, is not eligible for parole. Now, per the court documents cited by a Department of Justice release, investigators started looking into Zavala's alleged drug trafficking operation as far back as 2016, as well as operatives working from jails in both Mexico and Georgia. So when a co-defendant, Andrew Young, was picked up for possession of a stolen car and possession of meth, authorities say they found communications between himself and Zavala that detailed trips that Young had made to acquire meth and then distribute it to locations instructed by Zavala. Zavala was said to have conducted his business from prison using contraband cell phones and social media platforms, according to the release. Zavala was relentless in his efforts to direct a dangerous methamphetamine distribution network from behind bars, threatening both the safety of our communities and those living and working in the prison with him, according to U.S. Attorney Peter Leary. Robert Murphy, the special agent in charge of the DEA Altoona unit, or I should say the Atlanta unit, says this: "It's alarming to think that these criminals were brazen enough to distribute dangerous drugs while behind bars, but now they must face the consequences." Distributing meth from behind bars. This guy's so dedicated to a life of crime that even politicians are impressed. Well, this guy won't be cooking up meth anytime soon, but he will be in the kitchen cooking up some slop for his fellow inmates. And how about this one? A 47-year-old man was arrested after deputies found drugs in his shorts. According to the arrest report, a homeless man, Myrick Hamilton, was arrested on two drug charges in Santa Rosa County. Deputies were serving his warrant on Hamilton for an active warrant that he had out of the agency. And when they got to his location, they found him inside a tent. The report said deputies demanded he leave the tent, and he complied. Hamilton was arrested and was searched before they put him in the patrol car. While they were searching a pair of shorts he was wearing under his sweatpants, they found, allegedly, one blue cut straw with white residue, two burnt pieces of tinfoil, field-tested positive for fentanyl, one clear bag with a crystal-like substance, field-tested presumptive positive for methamphetamine at 0.1 gram, one clear corner cut of bag. Hamilton immediately responded by saying, these aren't my pants, according to the arrest report. He was charged with possession of a controlled substance without prescription and possession of paraphernalia, and Hamilton was taken to the Santa Rosa County Jail on an $8,500 bond. I get a sneaky suspicion that homeless tweakers probably do share pants more often than any other demographic. Here's a pro tip for all tweakers, okay? Print your enemy's name clearly on the tag of all the clothes you steal as soon as you snag them. Cops just love searching homeless encampments for tweakers with no pants. And what about this? Viral video has captured the moment an unlucky traveler was booted off a Jetstar flight to Bali for allegedly vaping on the plane. The clip uploaded to TikTok by the user Ali shows a man in a green shirt carrying a suitcase and a phone being escorted off by two stern-faced police officers. "Don't vape on planes, you guys," the text says on the video. She captions the post, "Old mate sneaky vape cost him his flight." The 10-second clip has been viewed 5 million times. Now, the incident occurred on flight JQ37 from Sydney to Denpasar. The passenger was removed by the Australian Federal Police after vaping in the toilet and setting off the smoke alarms. Customers cannot vape on a plane. It's simple as that, a Jetstar Post spokesman said. The use of all types of e-cigarettes on aircraft is strictly prohibited. The vapor set off the aircraft smoke alarm prior to the departure, and our crew called the AFP to assist with removing the passenger. Safety is our top priority. Of this type of behavior is never tolerated by our crew. Now, the TikTok video has attracted nearly 1,700 comments. You mean you don't get caught vaping on a plane, one person jokes. Vape in the bathroom, laugh out loud, another woman says. Done it many times. Just need to zero it, according to one man. But many commenters express disbelief at the stupidity. The lack of self-control is amazing, one writes. This is such an obvious rule that it's written all over the plane and when you buy your ticket. How do people do this anymore? You couldn't go without it? Yeah, well, they were flying in the clouds. See, I guess this jerk exhaled some clouds. Now, this man achieved the seeming impossible. He released something on a plane even worse than heinous farts. And you got to check this one out. Police have arrested two of four men who have been accused of stealing a truck containing more than $400,000 worth of beef. It's what's for dinner. Yeah, according to an NBC affiliate, WTVJ. Authorities said the 53-foot trailer and a container holding beef were reported stolen to the Orange County Sheriff's Office. Now, a GPS attached to the container placed it at KB Farm. It's a vegetable farm in Miami-Dade. When Miami-Dade police arrived at the farm, they found the suspects unloading the beef from the container. Now, the suspects ran away, leaving behind the tractor trailer. So, I guess the Miami-Dade, they are transferring the stolen beef into another container, according to that Miami judge said in court. Police used security camera video to track down and arrest 38-year-old Jorge Lion Blanco Diaz. According to the report, 39-year-old Lazaro Izquierdawas also was arrested. But two other suspects, 38-year-old Leandro Respo and 25-year-old Christian Garcia, are still at large. Actually, here's the Miami judge talking about the heist in court.
He was arrested for grand theft of cargo. So I guess in Miami-Dade, they were transferring the stolen beef into another container. Here, the stolen tractor trailer has an approximate value of $150,000, it says.
Blanco Diaz and Izquierdo are facing charges of grand theft of cargo greater than $50,000, resisting an officer without violence, and hold for a magistrate, according to the report. Blanco Diaz's bond was set at $25,000, according to WTVJ. But thanks to Bidenomics, though, I went to the local Y store, got three ribeyes, a family pack of chicken breasts, and two packs of smoked sausage for the low price of just $127,400. And the neighborhood they live in will be holding a funeral in honor of all the Biera that they just lost. And you'll never believe this. A Florida man is now behind bars after he forcibly kicked his way into a woman's home, according to the Marion County Sheriff's Office. Darren Davidson was arrested and charged with criminal mischief after an incident that unfolded, according to the arrest affidavit. The 39-year-old man was reportedly yelling and belligerent outside a woman's home, according to deputies. That's when he tried to get inside by kicking in the front door when he was denied entry. Now, on the second kick, Davidson allegedly broke the door frame and the door opened. Davidson then entered the woman's house, sat on the couch, according to deputies. He didn't try to commit any crimes while inside, the woman said, but he did ask for some water and something to smoke. Shortly after, Davidson grew belligerent again and resumed yelling before he left the house, according to the affidavit. Now, it really remains unclear if Davidson and the woman even knew each other. The man was taken into custody at his home nearby. Deputies said he spontaneously said he kicked the woman's door in because he was trying to warn her that she was in danger. He just wanted some water and some smokes. Hopefully this lady put some water in a bong for the poor guy. I mean, breaking into somebody's home is never a good move. This guy's favorite brand of water, I guess, is definitely not smart water. And one more. Among the many odd and potentially dangerous threats to U.S. agriculture, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agricultural specialists' latest seizure involved an eviscerated goat. A strange item, even by CPB standards. Earlier, two passengers arriving from the Democratic Republic of Congo to Chicago O'Hare International Airport were referred to agriculture specialists for secondary inspections. In line with the spirit of Friday the 13th, eclipses, Halloween, and all things spooky, the agricultural specialist inspected the traveler's baggage and found 1 pound of unknown meat, 2 pounds of garden eggs, and 15 pounds of raw goat viscera, including the trachea, heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, and entire digestive system. Agriculture specialists seized and destroyed the prohibited items to keep livestock disease and plant pests out of the U.S. Besides being a little strange, these kinds of items are prohibited because of their potential to impact U.S. agriculture negatively. There's real dangers that these items can have if they are introduced into the U.S. economy, says LaFonda D. Sutton-Burke, the CPB director, Field Operations Chicago Field Office. All passengers, whether entering or returning to the U.S., must be truthful and declare all items that they're bringing. If one prohibited item enters the U.S., it could have dangerous ecological or even economic results. But imagine the smell. Had to be even worse than the bathroom next to the airport Chipotle. I mean, trying to sneak stuff into the country has got to be nerve-wracking. I'll say it takes serious guts. Takes a lot of guts to do some of these stupid stunts, too, for that matter. But this is all five-star stupidity, so please give it a five-star rating. And if you've got the time and the desire, why don't you write a review? Make it really stupid. I just might decide to feature that in an upcoming episode. So when you rate and review the podcast, it shows up more prominently in searches because folks are out there looking for something stupid to read and to listen to. You can also share the podcast on your social media. That way that you don't get the reputation of being stingy with your stupidity. And, of course, subscribe if you haven't done so because, my goodness, we've got another episode coming up for the weekend. You don't want to miss that. And if you're trying to stream the podcast and constantly are annoyed by the buffering because you're in a crappy cell or Wi-Fi coverage area, then just download the thing every episode. That way you've got it on your podcast player and listen to it without any interruptions. And frankly, if you have a podcast player, you should be using Podcast Addict. It's free. And you've got optimum performance. I've never had a problem with my Podcast Addict app. There's two types of paid versions as well, or you can just get the free version. And besides this particular episode that you're listening to, there is the weekend episode with my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Aguero. He answers your questions with his sage wisdom when you ask Pancho about anything, and they do. You can also test your skills against Pancho when we have our insane game show. And, of course, he has plenty of Florida stories that we like to talk about. He kind of comes and takes over the podcast every week. And every week after the podcast episodes are all published, I'll post the articles from all the episodes stupidity on Telegram Messenger, where you can read them on the app after you join the Insane Eric Lane Stupid World channel. You'll be able to comment about the articles and share them with your friends and even post your comments or suggestions about the podcast as well. You can preview the channel and get a link to download Telegram Messenger at t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane. It's absolutely free. It's available in desktop or mobile versions for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple platforms. And I also hope you'll follow me on social media by searching the handle at Insane Eric Lane on Facebook or Twitter, or just stop by my website at InsaneEricLane.com. And this week's verbal meme for you. You just never realize how boring your life is until somebody asks, what do you like to do for fun? Kong, ki chong, kong, kong, ki chong, kong, 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 chong. Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World is produced with the support from Mr. Laugh's Comedy and Large Media, Wise Brother Media, Universal Comedy Network, and EnvisionWise, LLC, and AmeriCountry.com. Theme music, It's a Great Big Stupid World, is written and performed by Randy Stonehill. Copyright 1992, Stonehillian Music, Word Music, Twitch and Vibes Music, and is available wherever you download your music. Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World is distributed by Spotify for Podcasters. Record your podcast as easy as talking on your phone, and have it distributed to all major podcast platforms. The editing and music library are all at your fingertips with Spotify for Podcasters. Download the app from your favorite app store.